Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Seth Habhacker.
Good morning.
And we are joined right now by our great friends from Southwood County YMCA. We have Madison in with us. Good morning, Madison.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Thanks for being here.
We're here. We're happy.
And so glad to have you here. Thanks a lot. And we want to thank our friends over at Members Advantage. Members Advantage is helping us celebrate not only sponsoring the Pet of the Week, but they are also, of course, doing this for Veterans Day. Military, on March 13th, we honor the canine members of the police force and military for Canine Veterans Day. Remember those beloved pets who serve their country and their veterans? This week's Pet of the Week is brought to you by Members Advantage Credit Union and the Southwood County Humane Society. Big thank you to them for doing this. So, Madison, we are really happy to see you, but I couldn't help but notice that I'm not petting a furry animal right now.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right. It's all right. Who is our featured pet for today?
Our featured pet today is Cocoa Pebbles. She sadly does not travel well as she is a cat, so we did not bring her along today. I apologize.
We'll let it slide.
Cocoa Pebbles is a sweet little fantastic cat that we have. She's been with us almost over a year, if not over a year at this point. She came to us as a stray back in June of last year, and she's about 3 years old. One thing about Cocoa Pebbles is she just wants to be the only pet. She wants all the attention in the home. She wants no other animals in the house. So she is definitely an animal that is a little bit harder of a placement, because how many people do you know that have animals? Sadly, Cocoa Pebbles does need to be in a home without any other animals. She's the sweet little calico cat that we have. Very independent cat. She's vocal, she's sassy, and she knows it.
So she's a cat, in other words. Yeah.
Yep.
She also sounds like a great pet for somebody who lives alone or is solo, is single, or these kind of things. And not to say that it wouldn't be good in a couple situation, but couples tend to have kids or other other animals. So going back to that. And also, animals like that can often be some of the most loving animals, some of the most, like, they just give you all their attention, which can be a lot at times, but also if that's what you're looking for.
Yep, and then there's no picking favorites in the house. You got one cat that can have all the attention that they need. They're not picking favorites. You don't have to feel guilty about it, because I know I feel guilty about it.
Yeah. It can be a godsend in some ways, too, because, animals, well, I got one, I should get another one. I should get another animal or something like that. This kind of helps you.
It limits you in a little bit. Because I know I have that problem.
Yeah, I do. I hear you. I wanted to ask this before about cats. Is she microchipped?
Yep, she is microchipped. So they are spayed and neutered, up to date on vaccines and microchipped. All pets that we have that are in the Humane Society do get microchipped. It's just one thing that helps to reunite owners with their pets. So if your pet gets missing, it's one easy way that, hey, your collar's not going to fall off with those tags of identification. And it's a little tiny chip. It goes between the shoulder blades. And all we do is take a scanner, pull up the number, then we can contact the microchip company. Makes it 10 times easier to get those pets home.
We talk about this with dogs a lot. I don't think we've been able to touch on it much with cats. It's such a cool world now where this is going on for all of our furry friends.
Yeah, and I mean, like, cats too, it's one of those things that you really shouldn't use buckle collars for cats, because they're going to get caught under a couch or caught on something when they're outside, and that's going to choke them out, where you can use a breakaway collar. Those collars are going to break right off. But regardless, cats are not ones that normally have tags on them. Easiest way for cats is going to be a microchip. So,
yeah. Since we're talking about collars, I don't pretend to know dogs inside and out or anything like that. But I have a lot of love for them. And one of the things that when I first started being around dogs at shelters a lot, I preferred the harnesses over the collars. And I don't begrudge anybody that uses collars. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad or anything like that, but as somebody that actually knows what they're talking about, talking to you instead of me talking here, do you notice a difference? Do you prefer a difference between one or the other or anything?
Honestly, in the shelter environment, it kind of depends per the dog. Some dogs, if you're going to put a harness on a husky, that husky, it's in the genetics, it's going to pull because it's going to want to race, it's going to want to go. When you put a harness on Chihuahua, that might work a little bit better, so it's not hurting the necks or that they're pulling really heavily, that kind of thing. In the shelter environment, we use a leash called a Weissbacki. It's a two-point attachment leash. So what it does is it clips to their collar, and it also works as a squeeze harness around their waist. So it's 2 points of attachment. It's safety. We don't have to use two leashes at a time, that kind of situation. So the Weissbackis, we sell those at the shelter, and we use them for all of our shelter dogs. So they are adjusted to those. So it works as a good point for our adopters, too, if they are interested in purchasing those at adoption. Hey, they're already accustomed to this leash. There's something that you can add to your home right away.
And that does seem like a really good idea. The more familiarity for these animals when they're coming into a new environment, the better. If the leash is the same leash they were using, the dog dish is the same, that stuff helps them, you know, emulate so much easier and so much smoother and everything into a new environment.
Yeah, and like all of our animal adoptions that we have, we like to try to send something home with them that came from them. So if that was from a previous owner when they were surrendered, or if that was they came in as a stray and had nothing, but they had something at the shelter, hey, this was their favorite toy, we're sending this home. Or cats, for prime example, we always like to send a blanket from their kennel home with them because the sense of that allows them in the home environment of this is something that I'm familiar with. I can be comfortable with this blanket. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we try to help with our adopters when they are taking a new pet home to kind of have those pets be accustomed to that.
Is it, are we still in need of cat things? Are we still in cat season?
I believe cat litter. We've had so many donations come in, so we're doing really okay on cat litter, but we are desperately in need of kitten wet food, puppy dry food, and then adult wet canned food for dogs, so...
As long as we're adding the things, we're in desperate need around here of cookies. We're very low. No, that's not the same stuff.
Hey, come on, man.
I really do appreciate the time, Madison. Is there anything else we can tell people about how things are going over at the Humane Society, or things that you think people should know about going on over there that we can maybe bring attention to or maybe get some help for?
Yeah, we are definitely, kitten season is fastly approaching, so we will start having more and more kittens. I know we've had so many calls lately about, when are you getting kittens? When are you getting kittens? Kittens will be coming soon. Yes. It's just kind of the season. I know I've got a litter in foster currently, but it is coming the season very soon.
And we're talking about sometime maybe in March or maybe next month being able to open the doors a little bit more and being able to have more volunteers possibly, or dog walkers, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so we are doing our volunteer system in a quarterly basis, so we will reopen those applications at the end of March. We will have a two-week window for applications to come through at that point. We will process those, and then we will start orientations. So we're very excited.
And let's talk about our Coco Pebble. That's a great name.
Yes.
Also, my second favorite cereal. Tell the audience about her one more time.
Yeah, Coco Pebbles. So she is a 3-year-old little calico mix. She, again, needs to be a single animal home only, where she's the only pet in the home just because she's a little particular and likes her space. She has done well with older kids, but other than that, she is microchipped, up to date on vaccines, and spayed. So.
Excellent. Always good to see you. Thank you so much for being in studio with us. Appreciate the time, Madison.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
You can find out more by going to the Southwood County's website. Go to swchs.com. SWCHS.com. Otherwise, you can give them a call. Their main line is 715-423-0505, 423-0505. You can also email them SWCHS.com or SWCHS@SWCHS.com. That's SWCHS@SWCHS.com. Big, gigantic shout out to our friends over at Members Advantage. On March 13th, we honor the canine members of the police force and military for Canine Veterans Day. We remember those beloved pets who serve the country and their veterans. This week's Pet of the Week is brought to you by Members Advantage Credit Union and the Southwood County Humane Society. With Members Advantage Credit Union, free checking accounts are easy, simple, and yes, free. Open your free checking account today with locations in Wisconsin Rapids and Plover. We'll be back with more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. A big shout out to Madison and our friends over at the Southwood County Humane Society. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Also, of course, a big thank you to Members Advantage Credit Union for sponsoring the segment. A big thank you to them. Mm-hmm. We are always looking for sponsors for Pet of the Week.
Keep them coming.
I'm looking ahead, and we got a lot of them, and we want a lot more.
Yes.
Go ahead and give us a call at our front desk, 424-1300, the best in the business. Pam Hilke will hook you up with the best sales team in the business.
That's right.
And we'll get you on the team here. Just a big thank you to Madison for coming in. It tells you something. When she can come in, she didn't even bring a furry animal with her, and we still had some great content there.
Exactly.
It was a lot of fun. Diving into some entertainment news, Jimmy Kimmel will take you on.
What?
Jimmy Kimmel is not afraid of you.
Jimmy Kimmel is going. He's ready.
Jimmy Kimmel is hosting the Oscars on Sunday, and he's ready for anything. He says, quote, if somebody comes up on stage and slaps me, well, I will size them up, and if I am bigger than they are, I will beat them up.
If I'm bigger than they are, that's a good one.
If it's The Rock, I will run.
Yeah.
His actual quote. There's been so much about the slap and everything like that that Jimmy Kimmel said it would be ridiculous not to mention it. Still, he's not planning to make the whole monologue about it or anything like that.
Which would be a bit excessive, yeah.
Yeah, I think that Kimmel and his team are pretty smart as mm-hmm. far as like being in the he's got this is why you have writers. This is part of why.
Yes.
Because even if Jimmy Kimmel is in a bubble, his writers aren't.
No.
And so his material tends to be pretty, you know, of the people and a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah. And he's always been that way, you know. Yes. Back in the days, do you remember Win Ben Stein's Money?
Yes.
Do you remember when he was the host on that show?
He was great on that. He was a great host on that. He was good on The Man Show.
Yeah.
It is things that... Alex, I'll take things that have not aged well for 500. Ben Stein has not aged well.
No, I don't mean physically.
I don't mean physically. Wow.
Yeah.
They tell you don't meet your heroes kind of thing. Like, man. There's one of those guys. I always thought he was just the Bueller. Then you hear him talk like, oh my God. No.
No, he worked for Richard Nixon. I mean, come on.
Right, that should have told
you. That should have been tip off.
The stars of The Office had a hard time not looking into the camera after the show.
Oh, yes.
After 9 seasons of The Office, the stars of the show had picked up a bad habit that was hard to break. Steve Carell joined Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsley on their podcast Office Ladies. And he admitted, quote, I have never had a job where I didn't look into the camera at some point. Jenna said, same. I can't not make the camera a character now. It's such a habit. Angela said, I actually had a director say, Angela, you just looked right up down the barrel. Which is what a lot of directors will call the camera.
The camera, right?
Yeah.
Because it's, quote-unquote, shooting you. It's you shooting scenes, right?
It's nice. It's one of the things that they teach you early on in film. Like, and actually, one of the things that they're kind of kinder about, like, hey, everybody does this once or twice, but, you know, it happens. Mm-hmm. Just if you do happen to catch yourself looking in that direction, look above the camera. That's what they'll tell you. Look above the camera. Yeah. And that should make the scene. We won't have to, you know, throw the scene away.
And redo it. Yeah,
but
right.
If you're just staring straight at the camera like, hey, man, what are you? I gotta cut.
Unless you're supposed to be looking at the camera, do not look at the camera.
I worked with a young girl. I wasn't an extra at the time, but I've done extra work. So I empathize with it. Mm-hmm. She was an extra in our, we were filming in the Santa Barbara courthouse.
Right.
And we've got a limited thing. We have a limited time to do these scenes.
Of course.
So we got to be in and out. And apparently she could not stop looking in the camera and like doing the Michael Jordan, her sticking her mouth open. She was thinking. And a lot of people, when they think, their mouth tends to hang their mouth mm-hmm, open. Mm-hmm. She was doing this, and it was right, like she sent her right in the middle. Think of like any court show, like Law and Order and Jack McCoy, and sitting right behind Jack McCoy is some lady with her mouth just like...
It's completely distracting.
Thinking out loud.
Yes.
Yeah, like it's, that kind of thing. Like,
you would immediately look right at that person, and that's why they don't want people to do that.
She stared right at the camera. It's just like like 4 or 5 different cuts we had to make for that.
The comedian, actor, podcast, whatever you want to call him, John Hodgman, the writer.
Yes.
He said that he had the same problem after being on The Daily Show for so many years where you look directly in the camera. He was on, I think he was talking about his role on The Blacklist when he was on that show. And he said they would constantly tell John, you're looking in the camera, John. Don't do that, John.
It's understandable.
It is.
It's just kind of funny. It's one of those things I would not have thought. We are pronouncing the Fast and the Furious movie Fast X wrong, and we all need to take blame for this.
Okay. All right.
Some of us have not been pronouncing the 10th Fast and the Furious title right. We've been titled wrong. It's not Fast X. It's pronounced Fast 10, not Fast X. And it's actually meant to be a pun, because the Fast Furious movies are known for being funny.
Yeah, they're known for their humor. Very incisive and cutting commentary. Yeah.
Director Lewis Leitner said in an Empire interview that Fast 10 is in quote Fast 10 your seatbelts, fasten your seatbelts, Fast 10 your seatbelts.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, fail.
Oh my god! If you have to explain the pun, it's no.
There's something wrong. No, you can't.
It's not
no,
good.
Doesn't
it's
work.
Good.
Does not work.
I get the attempt. I get where if you're sitting around with your buddies and saying this, like, it sounds like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
But not, like, on this level. Like, putting it on this level. Like,
no.
That's crazy.
Can we just realize that there's nothing left? These Fast and Furious, there's nothing left, guys. Come on.
In the last one, they literally were in space.
Where do you go?
They had a car chase. They have a car in, just a regular old car. That they duct tape and get all this ways and everything, that they shoot up into space. This actually happened in their movie, and they're making another one. Like, they're and everybody's in this. Like, Helen Mirren, Charlize Theron, like,
yeah,
The Rock. Like, they get a good paycheck, and all they got to do is like, literally stand behind a steering wheel or sit behind a steering wheel.
Oh, I'm like, take it while you can, guys.
Yes.
Just pay, cash that, get that money, you know.
Let's
get
Fast X.
Fast 10 years.
Yeah.
Fast in your... Yeah.
It'll be in theaters May 19th.
Yeah. And I won't watch it, so...
We wrap up with one of our national treasures, I believe, in Goldie Hawn.
Mm.
I think of her
wait,
as
wait,
one of...
treasures, Goldie... kind of a stretch, but it's close.
It was close. But I didn't even think of doing that. I wasn't even thinking of it that way. You said, like, national treasure yesterday, I think it was. I forget who we were talking about.
Yeah.
She's going to become... It was somebody we were talking about that was going to become
Jamie Lee Curtis, yes.
Yes. And so that just popped in
was
my
right
head
in your head.
Goldie
Hawn. That's awesome.
Goldie Hawn thinks the Oscars have lost their elegance. In an interview with Variety, she said, quote, I'm not old fashioned, but sometimes jokes are off color and I'm missing the reverence. Things have become politicized. I want to see people in awe. I want to see people believing again. I want to see people laughing more in a way that isn't just at someone else's expense. She also mentioned that one of the biggest regrets is not attending the Oscars in 1970 when she won for Best Supporting Actress for Cactus Flower. Quote, I never got dressed up. I never got to pick up the award. It's something that I look back on now and think it would have been so great to be able to have done that.
Yeah.
I never heard why she didn't or anything.
No.
But yeah, spoiler alert. Goldie Hawn won an Oscar.
Yeah.
Like I don't think a lot of people like talk about or think of her that way.
No, and I don't think people realize that because I just realized, like, did I know that? Maybe I didn't know that. Wow. Which is cool, though.
Goldie Hawn, I think one of the more beautiful people that has ever walked under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that not just physically. I mean that as a person, her soul, all that. And a pretty face, and for many years that's what she was known as, and everything lot of this
pretty
stuff
face,
and everything.
Right, yeah.
If you have not been paying attention, if you do not realize she is a thespian, she is a bona fide actor that can do it all. I always like doing this when you take a comedy and you can take a moment in that comedy to find drama, or a drama and find a moment to show comedy in an actor. I've done this with Jim Carrey many times. You go back and watch Dumb and Dumber, and he looks at Lloyd and he says, I'm just so tired of being alone. It's Jim Carrey saying that. It's true, like, acting right there. Like, that's why I believe that Jim Carrey would, you know, if he had ever gotten the opportunity, he'd be good at drama. And sure enough, as we've seen, he is.
He has been able to do it, yeah.
Goldie Hawn proved this early in her career, but you watch a movie like Overboard. And it's a silly, fun 80s movie that we've all seen a billion times. Watch Goldie Hawn with those kids when she finally kind of gives in and is being a mom and everything. Watch her acting. Watch the way she works with these young actors and how she leans down to them, how she does certain things that only a great actor would do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a silly movie. It's a comedy. It's a throwaway and all that. But there are moments in that movie where you can see, oh, okay, this is why she's won an Oscar.
Yeah.
Like, you can see it even in silly comedy. It's the same thing with Tom Hanks and like in the movie with like The Man with One Red Shoe or Splash or something.
Yeah.
Like, you watch these movies and there's these moments where it's like, oh, they've got another gear to them. They can go to another level. Robin did this his whole career. It just wasn't until late in his career finally he got a chance to show it.
Yeah,
but
right.
Moscow on the Hudson or The World According to Garp, like, he had roles where he was serious or just, you know, Hollywood.
Even something like Good Morning Vietnam. I mean, seriously, he was just brilliant in that.
Dead Poets Society.
Yes.
He showed this a long time ago. He showed you he could do this, and he was capable of these things. It's cool to see that Goldie Hawn is kind of, this is getting a little bit of notice again because of her bringing it up. Now, as far as her comments on the Oscars, I don't know if the Oscars were ever elegant. I think they wanted to be elegant. From the very beginning, they've always wanted to be.
Yeah.
But you've got a bunch of actors, and a lot of those actors are rebellious. Mm-hmm. And they're going to this suit and tie thing. And they become like a 10-year-old when you put them in a suit.
Yeah.
And like, this thing's uncomfortable. I don't like this. Well, and they end up pushing back and doing different things. It is never going to be necessarily elegant.
Yeah. I keep thinking of back in the day. If you ever get a chance, go look up on like the Internet Archive or something. Listen to a Academy Awards ceremony from like the 1940s. This was when Bob Hope hosted every one of them, by the way. He did it every year. And it's done in an hour.
Yes.
All of the awards are handed out in an hour. Bob's telling jokes, of course, because that's what he does. Mm-hmm. And they're doing like the inside fun Hollywood jokes they would do at the time. But it would take him an hour. And that's it. Everything would be done. I think they should go back to something like, you know, the pomp and circumstance or whatever, you know, the pageantry. Can we dial that down a little bit? Can we do that? Can we try? Just give it a shot. 1 year. Try it 1 year. See what happens.
I will only piggyback off that to add, I think all awards shows should be that way.
Yeah.
Sports award shows, entertainment award shows, all award shows.
1 hour.
No speeches. Just go up there, accept your award, and if you want to give a speech, if you want to thank people, well, we have this thing called social media. You can go ahead, and it'll be right to the people that want to hear it because they already follow you.
Exactly.
If I don't want to hear your acceptance speech and I don't follow you, I don't have to hear it. I don't even have to worry about it. No waste of time.
If it's a good one, people will still pick it up and talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's out there, and they'll be able to do
this.
It.
I'm with you on this. You know? I think that you're onto something there. Advertisers are in my ear, though, telling me to ask you to please be quiet and to cut your mic.
Yeah, exactly.
Because advertisers want 3-hour show.
Oh, of course
they want 4-hour show. They want that.
Gotta get that in there.
Yeah. Anyway. And one last side note to wrap up our entertainment conversation. Bob Hope, greatest MC of all time.
I would have to say, yes, I would have to say he was.
There's a lot of good ones, a lot of great hosts, a lot of great MCs in the world, and there's always going to be, and there's been some great ones, and there are some currently some really, really great people that are really good at it. Nobody will ever come close to what Bob Hope was able to do.
I agree that he's the best. I think there is a couple people came close, and I think the one that comes to mind is Jack Benny. He was right on his heels, if you ask me. Jack was more of a, you know, situation comic than Bob was more of a joke guy. But Jack could do, I mean, he could do it his own way. But
Benny
yeah.
was quicker on his feet.
Yes, he was.
Jack Benny was much quicker on his feet. And in that respect, I hear you 100%. That's a great, nice reference.
And to be fair, when Bob couldn't do the Oscars, Jack was the one that did them. So, you know, there you go.
It's very true. Take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun and some Danny Wright stories for you on the Good Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a, what is it, a physical touch?
Invisible touch. Whatever that is.
What is that supposed to
be? I don't know. Yeah. This is Genesis, too, though. It's not Phil Collins. This is Genesis. I just want people to remember that.
That's right.
Because you can't swing a dead cat in the 80s without hitting Phil Collins.
No, you know. He was everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yes. We're here back with you. Now, we wanted to touch on a couple of local things here before we wrap up. I wanted to touch on, of course, our sports schedule. Join our sister station, WIRI, for Marquette men's basketball, of course, as we've been doing that all season long. Mm-hmm. That's your new home for Marquette men's basketball. We'll follow them throughout the Big East tournament. Marquette has the number one seed. They are taking on the 8th seed St. John's team in the Big East quarterfinals at 10:30 this morning, about an hour out from that.
Mm-hmm.
Keep on rolling, Marquette. I'm definitely rooting for them throughout this whole March Madness and everything.
They are an exciting team, and I've noticed they're starting to get some national press too. People are starting to talk about them as kind of like a dark horse to make at least a decent run in the tournament. So we'll see what happens.
I mentioned that Take Six is going to be in town tonight, thanks to Savor the Arts. You can go to savorthearts.com to find out more about that and get yourself some tickets.
Yeah.
That is going to be a fun show. Encourage people to go check that out. While that is also going on tonight, we have another great event going on tonight as well from 4 to 7 tonight over at our friends at the YMCA at 601 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. They have a community health fair going on.
Yes.
Let's tell them a little bit about this, Seth.
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, the main thing to know is that I'm going to be there.
Yes, that is the main thing.
We're going to be broadcasting on our WIRI from 4 to 6 and inviting people to come on out for down there. It's going to be it's really cool, and I'm glad that they're doing these throughout the thing, because I think they're they're going to continue doing this as much as they can. There's free COVID-19 and flu vaccinations on this. No ID or insurance needed. You get a gift voucher for all who get a COVID-19 shot. They've got the Pfizer and Moderna available for people 12 and over. And assistance is available to look up vaccination records and make appointments for routine vaccinations. So get everything set and ready to go. They're going to have giveaways. They have information booths, other activities. And like I said, we're going to be there broadcasting from 4 to 6, doing some interviews with all the great people that are putting this together. And, of course, our good friends at the YMCA at 601 West Grand Avenue. So check it out, everyone.
Yeah.
In between some great country, classic country music, we'll be talking about what's going on there.
That's going to be a really fun event.
Yep.
Appreciate them doing this. Appreciate the Y hosting us.
Yep.
I really appreciate you doing the MC work on this one tonight.
Yeah, not a problem.
Yeah, you should have a lot of fun. Have a great time.
Yeah, I think it'll be a fun time.
Join Seth and our friends at the Southland County YMCA for this great event tonight. Again, going 4 to 7. And it's another good opportunity, too, if you have not been to the Y in a while
or
you haven't checked out the Y. Here's a great opportunity to do this. So kind of an open house in some ways.
It is,
when it
in
comes
a lot
to
of ways.
That.
Yeah, you got it.
So get on over there, everybody, and get yourself a membership and join the Y. They will work with you on that membership price or anything.
Yep, they will.
They want more and more people over at taking advantage of having this beautiful facility in town.
They want to make it as accessible as possible.
We have some great programming for you on the weekends, of course, as we are going to continue to follow Marquette basketball throughout the weekend on our sister station, WIRI, right here at WFHR. Of course, we have great programming for you. Join us for the greatest show of all time, the Sunshine Polka Show.
That's right.
That you can catch that Saturdays at 7 a.m.
Yep.
And Sundays at 1.
That's correct.
Join Tim, the polka guy, for that. Great lineup every week. Tim scours the earth looking for great polka for you. And I don't know where he finds some of this stuff, but man, good.
And he gets, I love the fact he finds obscure things from lots of Wisconsin groups because, shocker, lots of polka music in Wisconsin. Yeah, I wonder why. No.
It's shocking.
But no, he finds some of the best stuff, and his show is so much fun.
Be sure to check that out.
Yeah.
And we also, of course, have Seth Faces of Music going on this Sunday from 6 to 8. Seth, what's your theme this week?
Fire.
Nice.
Fire.
Nice.
It was one of those that I realized I had to check. Have I done fire yet?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I haven't. Hey, great. There's a ton of songs of fire. And, you know, as I was going through and getting the songs for this, I realized, you know what? I could do a nice little sequence here of, you know, the classic four, you know, elements as they were known in Greek, you know, back in ancient Greece.
Yeah.
So you've got fire, water, air, and earth. So I'm going to see if I can put together a string of shows here based on those. It'll be an interesting task in front of me.
And at the end of that, I want you to do an hour just focused on obscure Earth, Wind, and Fire songs.
That's it.
Just like very rare Earth, Wind, and Fire. None of us have ever heard. Like the band doesn't even want people to hear. Like,
no. It's something from 1976 like that. Yeah.
Join us for Seth Faces Music every Sunday, 6 to 8. It's a fantastic show. We appreciate the support and the following that show has had.
And
keep on spreading the word about it. And while you're at it, stick around for a director's cut from 8 to 9. Seth and I tag team that show, bringing some of our great artists here in state on the air with us. We've had musicians, poets, actors. We have it all. And we are looking to have more and more people as we go forward.
Mm-hmm.
I want to send a big shout out to our fifth Beatle, Connie Tomsky Fayville,
who
also does the show, is a co-producer of the show, and helps us with music guests all the time and everything. Does a great job with that. We are going to have this Sunday Rick Humphreys joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Rick is a local poet. We had such an awesome conversation with Rick, you guys.
Yeah,
we recorded this a couple weeks ago, and it was such a good time.
It's interesting. You never know where the conversation is going to go when we do these. And Rick is a big advocate of mental health. You know, he said he's very honest about some of the issues he's had, and now he's an advocate for that. So we talk about that and how poetry has helped him with that as well. So you never know what you're going to hear on Director's Cut. We don't know where these conversations are going to go. That's why we got to tune in to find out.
It was a great time talking with Rick.
Yep.
Just to give you a look ahead at our schedule for Director's Cut, we will have an actor series we're going to be doing where we're going to be focusing, talking to not so much big name actors, but actors that have had a career and grinded through
the working actors.
We've got Joel Goodness joining us on the 19th. That interview we did with Joel 5 years ago.
Yeah, it seems that way.
It feels like it was a while ago.
See, he's so patient. Thank you for being patient, Joel.
Yes.
For waiting for that to come out.
Such a great time. I'm talking with Joel. I've known Joel for a while and have had many great conversations with him. I found out stuff I had no idea about Joel. That was amazing. A really nice conversation with him, and he had a really good time.
Yeah.
Like, it was fun to have him in. We're going to be having Jordan Bain on from Save Point. Jordan's going to be joining us probably at the beginning of April.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. Jordan, great local musician. So much fun. I've got some things that I can't wait to talk to Jordan about.
Yep.
We're hoping to have the Lizards join us in April. Looking forward to that. One of the most, if not the most legendary band in this area. One of them, definitely.
Yeah.
Save Point, Jordan's band Save Point's also going to join us sometime probably in May.
Yep.
So just giving you guys a little look ahead here of some of the stuff that's going to be going on.
Yeah, we're moving up in the world. We're getting some big acts here.
Yes, yes.
Because if I remember correctly, Save Point was at the FRM Music Fest last year, and they're a great local group. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, if you're an artist or you know of an artist and you think that they would be a great fit on Director's Cut, you're right, they would be. Reach out to us. Let us know. We want to have as many people as we can, because this is all about supporting and promoting local people. We say it all the time on the air, buy local, support local. We put our money where our mouth is.
Yep.
We are genuinely supporting local people.
And we got so much talent in central Wisconsin. We want to promote it. We want to get you guys over the airwaves. So.
You can direct message us on Facebook. That's one way to get a hold of us if you'd like to schedule somebody for Director's Cut. Otherwise, you can email me, james.maloff@civicmedia.us. james.maloff@civicmedia.us. Also, feel free to call up our station here, 424-1300. Pam will put you direct with us.
Yep.
We'll get you on air. We'll take good care of you. But again, be sure to catch the Sunshine Polka Show at 7 a.m. on Saturdays and 1 o'clock on Sundays. And you want to catch Seth Faces the Music from 6 to 8 on Sundays and Director's Cut 8 to 9 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Take a quick break, come back, and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR, where we are a locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this Friday Eve. Happy Thursday.
Yeah.
We are going to lead you up to Morning Magazine in part one today. We are going to welcome in our friends from the Wisconsin Rapids Figure Skating Club.
Cool.
They've got a cool ice show coming up this week. No, not this weekend. The next weekend on the 18th.
Yep.
We're going to talk a little bit about that. Just talk about figure skating a little bit. I'm really excited about that.
I love to do that very often. Yeah.
Yeah. I like talking skating. That's going to be fun. And in part two, our good friend Laura Huber, 4-H program educator with UW Extension Madison, going to be with us. Always good to talk with Laura. Just always exciting and fun. Just turn her mic on and she just rolls.
We're gonna have Those are the best guests.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Right now, Seth and I are going to get into a That Ain't Right story, but it's a little bit different than usual, where we just kind of pick on one person or anything. This one, we are just going after the industry.
Oh, good. I like doing that.
8 things in hotel rooms that you should clean yourself.
All right.
I have mentioned before, I worked in the hotel industry for many years. Mm-hmm. I've worked for all the big chains, and I've worked in California, Illinois, and I have not worked at a hotel in Wisconsin, I'll say that. But otherwise, worked in almost every of the big name brands and for all the big companies, and know a little bit about the industry. Don't want to pretend like I know it inside and out, but I know quite a bit about it. See what that adds to the conversation. Lifehacker.com posted a list of the top things you might want to clean yourself after you check in.
Okay.
Most are things guests touch a lot, but that maids don't clean enough. So you want to bring some disinfectant wipes with you. The TV remote. Everyone uses it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
In fact, you might want to do that at your own house every now and then, because everyone uses it.
I'm telling you, those disinfectant wipes, like those things are amazing.
Those are pretty cool.
Yeah. The nightstand. Surfaces in general might not get wiped down enough.
Right. So, yeah, yep.
The door handles.
Well, of course.
Another thing.
Everyone touches all the door handles, yeah.
I want to say, though, real quick, some of the hardest working, greatest working people I've ever met are the people that were the maids and the people that clean hotels.
Right.
I don't know many people that do that are not incredibly diligent and hard workers.
Yep.
They're also trying to clean 80 rooms in a minute.
They have a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
And and they got to get the big stuff. You know, make sure, the toilet, the sheets are changed, all the big stuff. So, yeah, Yeah, this, you're right. This is not denigrating their work at all.
I think that there's an assumption with hotels and people that I don't think is really talked about. But this idea that, well, we're given, we have the building here, we have the room for you to stay in, and you're going to pay for that. We got a couple of little things here and there for you, but that's about it. Like, you're going to have to cover, you're going to have to take some personal responsibility with certain things and do it yourself.
Yeah,
we're going to give you towels, but we're not going to take the shower for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that kind of thing. I think cleaning is a little like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not the first person and the only person to stay in this room.
For sure.
Be smart about it. Use common sense and kind of, you know, go into that with that.
Yeah.
The light switches. That's a big one.
I'm sensing a pattern here.
Yeah.
Stuff that people touch with their hands. And, you know, this is basically what we were talking about, you know, during the pandemic and everything. Just remember where germs come. You know, it's always the most, with the most traffic and the most things that we touch with our hands, because that's where, you know, most of our stuff gets from.
If you plan to use it, the phone is another one to wipe down.
Not many people use phones in hotels anymore, but, you know, it might happen.
The handle on the mini fridge. I mean, only rich people touch the mini fridge. I don't know if I've ever even opened a mini fridge. I was afraid it might cost like $5
just to open that thing. Although the mini fridges in most places just have like a couple bottles of water anymore, so it's not a big deal.
And that's where they get you. The bottle, the $19 bottle of water at 3 in the morning when you desperately need it.
See, I'm thirsty. I need to drink.
Yeah, that's the only one, the only kind of thing I think I've ever bought from a mini fridge is a bottle of water. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think I'm still paying on it.
You are. You take a mortgage out.
Yeah. The toilet handle. Oh, my God, yes.
Yes.
People don't wash their hands before they touch it, and it's part of a toilet that gets overlooked.
Yeah, right.
To Seth's point earlier, something you should be doing in your own home as well.
You just think about it. Yeah, yeah. Especially if you have a sick person in your house. You got to remember that, got to get those germs.
The coffee maker. It's another good one.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that, but yeah.
Run it through a cleaning cycle if it has one. If not, at least rinse the pot out. And if the mugs are ceramic or reusable, clean those as well.
Right. Although most places have the travel mugs or the, you know, the whatever that weird material is. What is that? I don't even know what that is.
It's not even, I mean, I want to say styrofoam, but it's not really styrofoam.
Yeah.
No.
It's an insulated sort of plastic, sort of paper combination. I don't know.
I actually enjoyed my time working in the hotel industry, and I don't mind staying at hotels. It's kind of it's almost nostalgic to me, doing it and everything. I will say there is the worst coffee I've ever had by far and away is hotel coffee.
Yeah.
By leaps and bounds. I've never had coffee where I thought, is this mud? Did they just go outside and grab some mud?
Mud out of the ditch right there?
My coffee's not supposed to be thick. Is that a twig? Is there a twig in my coffee?
Why is my spoon standing up in it? What's wrong here?
And I blame the coffee makers that they have in hotel rooms. What, every one of them's from 1964. They don't make a modern version of these things. And they were specifically designed to make it as difficult as possible for you to just do the one thing you want to do in the morning and make a cup of coffee. It looks so simple.
Yeah.
I just throw the packet in there, you do a little bit of water, and boom, you're good to go. No.
And then all of a sudden there's a fire, and you're like, whoa.
There's coffee spread all over. Like, it's just, yeah. here's one more. The comforters on beds that don't always get cleaned enough. But unfortunately, you can't do much about that unless you're into in this group. A poll in 2019 found 1 in 10 people sometimes bring their own sheets when they stay in a hotel.
I'm not going that far.
No.
I'm not going to worry too terribly much. The sheets, I mean, okay, the bedspread is one thing. You don't touch a lot of that. The sheets, then I want clean sheets on there. But the bedspread, you know, you can take it off or fold it down. You don't have to, so I'm not as, that doesn't bother me quite as much.
That's one of those things. If you're that worried about it, I don't blame you. I'm more power to you. But I almost feel like, well, what are you doing to yourself?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're just going to freak yourself out. Kind of.
I don't know. But there's some that ain't right stuff in there. I'll tell you
there
that.
Is.
It definitely is. I wanted to touch on a couple of good stories here. But before we can get to that, one more that ain't right one for you. A Maine vegan whose custom license plate contains the word tofu is one of the motorists caught in a state crackdown on vulgar license plates. Car owners across the United States can pay an extra fee to customize license plates, sparking creativity and personality, but causing headaches for some state officials who have decided what's acceptable. Maine had, for several years, allowed people to put just about any combination of letters and numbers on their vehicles, including words and different things like that. But the state decided to change course, and this year recalled 274 plates it deemed inappropriate. Some people are fighting back. So far, the state has rejected all of the appeals, including one brought by a vegan whose license plate refers to tofu. The state concluded the license plate, Love Tofu, could have been a reference to something more sexual or something like that, and not just an
admiration. Oh my gosh, I just realized.
Not just an admiration for the bean curd.
I just realized what that could be. Yeah, it just occurred to me.
Not going
to
spell it out for
you. No, not on that. No, we're hello, but, FCC.
Yes, hello. But yeah, that's kind of, that's one of those ones. Come on. I just am a big tofu guy. That's rough. That's rough.
No, that would be clever. If it is the, if it were the other one, actually, that's pretty clever. That's pretty clever.
It's pretty clever.
I like the pun. I like the pun there.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's also not going to last.
He's going to lose. Yeah.
You're not winning that.
No, you're not.
You were not winning that one. This is a pretty cool story. A Cherokee woman determined not to let the pandemic get her down began running or walking a 5K every day for 100 days.
Wow.
Through lockdowns, Alpha, Delta, Omicron, and beyond, May Dean Erb kept on running until she completed her 1,000th 5K last Friday. 1,000 of these.
Wow.
2 months short of her 80th birthday.
Whoa. Oh. Oh. Mm-hmm. Even more impressive. Mm-hmm.
Quote, I don't know how she managed to do a 5K walk or run every single day for the last 1,000 days, but she did, says Erb's daughter, Julia Erb Alvarez. She told GNN, Good News Network, who we're getting this article from. Her milestone was celebrated by a gathering of friends and family, even some virtually. She is our hero. A member of the Cherokee Nation, Erb lives with her husband of 56 years, Jim Erb, great name. In a rural town called Black Gum, great name.
Good name.
Name her near her hometown of Vane, Oklahoma. She has by no means stopped doing these continuous 5Ks, and in fact, at the time of the publishing of this article, she would be on her 1,006th race. Noting that good habits are as hard to break as bad habits.
That's true. It's true.
Quote. I don't hurt anymore. I have knee issues every once in a while with, I guess, age. But it's a really wonderful thing walking and running to do, she told the Cherokee Phoenix.
Wow.
Quote, it's just something you should do for yourself and your family. And when you have a four-year-old grandson, you want to stay young enough to pick him up and run with him and catch him if he's going to, in the wrong direction. She often runs and walks with her friends who note that going out for a walk doesn't even feel like a walk anymore unless it's a 5K. Julie notes that May has become an inspiration to the whole community, not just to herself, who wants to be just like her mom when she reaches her golden years.
Oh, how nice.
This is an unstoppable force right here, this lady.
Oh, my gosh.
She is a superhero. She is amazing.
Yep.
A big shout out to May Dean Erb. And a happy 80th birthday, May.
Yes, exactly. Married for 57 years, too.
That's great. That's also impressive, too. That is a pretty cool part of this.
Oh, man.
That's just a beautiful story.
It's wonderful.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
We appreciate our friends at the Good News Network for the nice reporting there on that. Another one here for you, I think that is pretty good. A police officer in Florida named Marshall Smith received a combination of commendation for saving a kitten that got stuck in the well of a car.
Oh.
It's since been adopted, and the owners decided to name it Marshall in his honor.
By the way, a police officer named Marshall. I love that.
It's so great. That's so great. And also, it also had to have been like real torture as he was going through training and everything.
Hey, Marshall.
Yeah, I cannot imagine how much he heard that all the time. But that's a great story.
Another good one.
That's a really good one. And we appreciate all the good stories that you guys get, you know, are out there, mm-hmm. being a good story out there. Another great good story of the day, of course, our friends at the Southland County Humane Society.
Yep.
Big thank you to Madison and the gang over there for joining us. Thanks to Members Advantage for sponsoring the segment. We appreciate all the above. Seth, great show. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
It was fun.
We'll get the band back together. Terry Johns will be with us on tomorrow's morning show. We'll talk with you then. Morning Magazine coming up here at WFHR, locally grown radio.